This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast. Today, we're going to find out about higher Christian education and how your own church can open its own Bible college. And I'm going to talk today to my longtime friend, Dr. Randall Langley, and I think you're going to be interested in what he has to say, so stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone, and I'm so happy to welcome to the Strang Report Dr. Langley, who I have known for years. And today as we talk, I guess we'll go into that a little bit. He has a resume as long as your arm. He is the president of the International Association of Bible Colleges and Seminaries, the executive council for the International Coalition of Apostolic Leaders, and many more. But we're here today to talk about the Christian Life School of Theology Global, which he basically took over from its founder, Dr. Ron Cottle, a number of years ago, and good things are happening. And so let me welcome you to my podcast. And the first thing I want to talk about is your mission. I'm so fascinated with your mission to help people fulfill their ultimate purpose in life and achieve their God-given dreams. So welcome, and will you just expound on that a little bit?
Yes, thanks, Steve. I'm so excited to be on the podcast with you today. I people today, I think, are being awakened, so to speak, or quickened in their lives that they want to be more than just churchgoers. They see themselves as having a kingdom purpose and calling. And so, you know, from my perspective, success happens when people can, you know, begin to fulfill their, not just chase after a passion, but when they can connect with purpose. And so just like God spoke to Jeremiah and said, I knew you and formed you when you were in your mother's womb, I called you. People are called. And I think that that is something that is happening in the church world today. They want to be empowered. They want to be equipped to stand toe-to-toe and eye-to-eye with secular culture, to be on mission, and to be powerful for the kingdom of God. So that's what we do. We help them accomplish that.
And that's so important. You know, I was just reflecting before the podcast that I basically got to know you when you were in Spartanburg, South Carolina, which for those who don't know, that's where my wife Joy was born. Her very good friend Houston Miles, and my good friend too, built a great church there called Evangel, and a lot of changes over the years, and now it's affiliated with my good friend Jensen Franklin. But you were pastoring there, and for a period of time, I was really involved with Christians United for Israel, and was up in South Carolina a lot recruiting people for that organization and doing different things. And I just remembered that you were so great to work with. We kind of formed a friendship. And then I was aware when you took over from Dr. Cottle, you know, he's getting up there in years, and he's done such a great job with CLST. Just tell me, I'm kind of curious, I guess, you know, because I'm a journalist and also because I've known you and there's connections with the family and everything else. I'm just kind of curious how that transition took place because it just seems so perfect. I mean, you seem like the right guy for that position. So how did all that happen?
Well, it's funny because my relationship with Dr. Cottle goes back, and this is how I got connected and kind of how the whole CLST story comes into view. I was a young pastor. Lori and I were in the inner city of Tacoma, Washington, and I really had a passion to start a Bible college in our church. And so I began to seek out and search out what that might look like and how we could go about it, and was quite frustrated in couldn't just find what I was really looking for. And I got invited to a meeting over in Eastern Washington, and I showed up over there, and we all went out to play golf, and I met this guy, Ron Cottle, on a golf course in Eastern Washington. And it was just a divine connection. Little did I know how that relationship would flourish. And he became a leader, a mentor, a spiritual father in my life. And really, I wouldn't be the man that I am today if it wasn't for how Dr. Carl just kind of took me under his wing. We eventually started a Bible college there. And out of that relationship over the years, it just continued to grow and grow. I pastored for almost 33 years. Of course, my joke is I pastored for almost 33 years, then God let me out for good behavior.
That's funny. But you were also able to see, you know, as a pastor, the importance of, you know, the training that people got in a Bible school, what it did in people's lives. Tell me some stories about what happened and what got you so motivated to do this as your life calling now.
Well, I think that, of course, I loved pastoring. And Lori and I were, you know, we've pioneered churches. Kind of our track record was going into some battered and bruised churches that were kind of struggling, and we had to fast and pray and believe God and, you know, just bring healing and leadership and vision, fresh vision, and nurse them back to health. And then, of course, we would set leaders in and move on. So I think that maybe God wired me to just have this passion to raise up leaders. And, you know, I guess it's that Ephesians 11 and 12 kind of model where it talks about these apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers are to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And her great teaching on that, you know, the word equip is kind of an unfortunate word because it almost sounds
Why is
like
that?
For me to, well, because to equip you, I mean, sounds like I'm giving you something that you don't have. I'm providing you equipment. But in reality, the root word there, katartidzo, is kata with and artidzo, which means to adjust. And so the fundamental meaning was to put something back into its appropriate condition or to repair what's broken. So it's like, it'd be like going to a doctor. You already have an arm. He's not giving you an arm. You have an arm, but it's broken. And so he sets it in its proper order. So really, this idea here of equipping or katartizo is to bring something back into alignment with our intended original purpose. So, you know, if you go to my personal webpage or my Facebook page, you know, it says, I'm famous for saying you were created on purpose for a purpose. And so I guess I just had this passion to see people, you know, discover what their purpose is, and then frame their life and their strategy around fulfilling purpose, and that success and joy and significance would come from that, as opposed to just chasing after success. I was coaching a group of young pastors the other day, and this young pastor said, "I'm so excited about pursuing my passion." And I said, "That's wonderful, but make sure that you're pursuing your purpose and that your purpose is connected to your passion, and that will make you successful." So anyhow, I think it probably just has to do with the way I was wired, and you know, I consider myself kind of a apostolically, you know, directed, kind of an entrepreneurial builder, grower kind of an individual. And so I love to see people come alive with their destiny and their purpose. And pretty much everything we do through CLSD Global is about empowering, encouraging people to, like I said, maximize their calling and their purpose. And so that's, you know, right in alignment with what I was doing. So it wasn't a hard thing for me to go from pastoring to leading CLSD Global, because so much of what we do is connected to kingdom building and releasing people into their full purpose.
Well, that's so well said. And, you know, I know what an effective leader you are, and I know how important this is. And a few years ago, not very many people knew anything about online education. You know, it's now become pretty common, but online education is usually tied to somewhere else. You know, we're not really here to talk about this, but what you're actually doing is kind of boots on the ground, kind of Bible school in a church setting. And, you know, some of the great colleges were actually started as Bible institutes. I think even as Liberty University, you know, it was started as an offshoot of Thomas Road Baptist Church. I think it was called maybe Liberty Bible College to start with or something like that. You know, you hear stories about Harvard and some of the other Ivy League schools were actually started as church schools way back in the day. I know Southeastern University down here near where I live was actually started as an offshoot of a church in Alabama back in 1935, and one thing kind of led to another, and now it's a great university. But, you know, brick and mortar is expensive, and having well-paid faculty and libraries and football teams and whatever else goes along with the college, you know, that's good for some people. But people that just want to get a Bible degree or to learn Greek and Hebrew, you know, that makes me think my late father was actually a Bible college professor. He left the pastorate, or he felt called to transition from the pastorate to become a Bible college professor. And I recently found something that I treasure, and that was his Greek and Hebrew New Testament that he obviously used when he was learning Greek and Hebrew. And even,
oh, that's wonderful.
And so I have it in a very special place where I won't lose it. And someday I'll pass it along to my sons or my grandson because it's, you know, it just means something to us in our family. And I can actually remember my father learning Greek with a little 45 record. This was before the days of cassette tapes. And I'm dating myself to be sure. But I mean, as a kid, I can kind of remember that this happened. And I've gone to some churches that were very high on education, and a lot of times they were volunteers, and, you know, there was a certain value, and they'd have a curriculum. But you're talking about something much higher level where people can actually get a degree, they can prepare themselves for the ministry either in that local church, or a lot of times churches that have a real heart for evangelism will start other churches. Why don't you describe to me, I know every situation is a little bit different, but you also must have some standards, of course, that people follow. So kind of describe to me a church, maybe a typical church. What would maybe cause them to want to do this? Would they already maybe have their own little program and they're struggling and they want something more, or they start from scratch? Kind of walk us through that to share the vision for how our listeners could do this themselves, or maybe share with someone else who is interested in bringing something like CLST Global to their church.
Right. So, you know, just a little quick history, Steve. You know, CLST was officially birthed back in 1983 by Dr. Caudill. And at that time, you know, it was a mission to bring quality, affordable, church-based Christian higher education back under the oversight of the local church and its leaders. And you know, there was a common vision among some of the leading contemporaries of that era, people like Dick Iverson, who eventually started Portland Bible College, even C. Peter Wagner, Dr. Caudill, others. But to these guys, it didn't make scriptural or practical sense to send their best and brightest people away somewhere for Bible training and then hope that they came back to the church. And then, of course, if they did come back, they usually returned with someone else's vision instead of their vision. So it was an opportunity, really, so that you could, you know, be able to raise up these kinds of leaders. Now, I've written a book, actually. It's an ebook. It's a free download from our website. It's called Why Every Church Needs a Bible School Now. And in that book, I describe, I lay it out, and I pretty much challenge anybody to read this little ebook and then not want to start their own school. Because, you know, this is what we are called to do. In fact, for the most part, Steve, our capacity to grow leaders is going to determine our effectiveness and impact. The best leaders I know today and the churches that are thriving are committed They're finding ways to equip and empower leaders so that they can remain on mission and effective for their lives. So CLSD Global offers a world-class theological education within the life-giving environment of the local church. And we've made this a turnkey partnership. You love, serve, and nurture your students. We partner with you. We call them our global education partners. And we do all the backside. We do all the academic side, the grading, the record keeping, the degrees, the registration, everything of that nature. So it's a powerful partnership that keeps the local church doing what they do well, and then we do what we do well, and together we create this beautiful opportunity for them to have their own Bible college under their own identity, their own DNA, their own unique calling and purpose. So that's kind of the essence of what we do. It's a generosity-based education model, Steve.
And what does that mean? I mean, I know what the word generosity means. It's a great word, especially for a Christian. Jesus wants us to be generous, but what does it mean in your context?
In our context, it means we are the most extraordinary value that you're going to find in Christian higher education. And we share that tuition with the local ministry. So it actually puts finances back into your church. So it's it becomes something that you can use to fund missions, you can fund additional staff, you can, you know, do what you want. And the more successful you are at developing your school, then the more you participate in the financial success of it as well. The other thing is, every student, we're really, really big on, you know, we're a global organization. We reach students and schools all over the world. And especially we reach into a lot of the underdeveloped countries. And because we've really been out on the cutting edge of cloud-based systems and digital delivery of our content, we can reach people that we could never reach in any other way. And most of those people would never be able to afford to get a quality Bible education. So when a student pays tuition here in the U.S., they're generously helping to fund missionaries and global leaders in third world countries so that they can also be equipped and educated. So the reciprocity is really beautiful there. And, you know, we're just grateful for that opportunity.
Well, that's exciting. And you are so articulate in the way you share about what's going on. And as we begin to wrap up this podcast, because, you know, podcasts are usually pretty short, the nice thing is that you can back it up and people can listen to it again, or hopefully they'll share this with others, just to help people to get a scope of what's happening, because you're a very solid organization. This is not fly by night. I mean, you started 1983. You've had many, many students go through. You just mentioned many different countries. Help people to get kind of a scope of what they're dealing with, what they would become a part of, because it, in a way, it's kind of like a family. And then let me ask something that always comes up with higher education, and that's accreditation. And accreditation can mean lots of things. There's different accrediting bodies. There's different levels. But it always comes up. So how do you, at Christian Life School of Theology Global, deal with accreditation for your students and churches?
Well, you know, in addition to our U.S.-based operations, we've been able to reach into over 140 countries, and graciously, God's enabled us to serve, you know, thousands of churches and students. That presents a different dynamic when it comes to accreditation. I'll say this with regards to accreditation. Most of the time when people use, well, most people don't even understand what accreditation means. That word is thrown around a lot. But most people, when they say, are you accredited, what they really are after is, are you credible? Are you a diploma mill? Are you a degree mill? Are you credible? I want to know what I'm getting. An organization like CLSD Global has a high standard of academic integrity, of commitment to standards and practices, and our accreditation is under IABCS, International Association of Bible Colleges and Seminaries, which, by the way, is the oldest non-government accrediting association in the United States. But that's the key. We've chosen to be non-traditional. Now, the reason that we've gone that route is not for lack of academic integrity, but if, Steve, if we tried to bring what we do in the vision that God has given us, if we tried to bring that under traditional accreditation, we would never be able to reach around the world and serve the students that we do and reach them in the way that we do. So we maintain a high standard of academic integrity and practices, but as a non-traditional provider, we are not hindered or limited in our scope and reach. Furthermore, our education is customized. So if you were to enroll as a student, one of our student advisors would say, Steve, share with me your heart. What's your passion? What's your vision? And then we would help you customize your own education track that's wrapped around what you believe God has called you to do. So we don't really even have any cookie cutter degree programs. Everything is customized to the individual. Everything is customized to the organization and the ministry. It's one of the most unique educational systems or programs anywhere. But that's just how God, you know, set it up for us. We have almost 300 courses, approximately 100 world-class faculty members. Most of them are noted experts in their field of theology, practical ministry, leadership, communication. Some legacy teachers too, Steve, people that you knew very well. Fuchsia Pickett, Judson Cornwall, C. Peter Wagner. We've been able to even preserve some of their powerful Bible college courses and still offer those as part of our legacy offerings to students.
And of course, they're on video, and I knew them all well, and you're right, they're great. And let me just say this about accreditation. I'm not an educator in the way you are. I kind of grew up around it, and I've served on the board of a Christian university kind of as they went through the accrediting process. And basically, it comes down to this. It's, you know, first of all, people want to know you're not a diploma mill, but then there are different accreditations, different levels, and it basically says that your peers look at you and say, yes, you're enough like us. You have as many chemistry labs as we do, and you have as many dorm rooms, and you have so many faculty with certain degrees like we do, and we will accept you as one of us. And I always found it very interesting that Harvard University is not accredited, and it's because they take the attitude they have no peers who can judge them as being good enough. And so, you know, nobody would look down their nose at Harvard University. I think it's basically that people know what they're getting, and you know, some degrees you can't go on and get a master's or a doctorate if you don't come from certain institutions. But listen, if you're wanting to be prepared for ministry and to learn the Word of God and to delve into what Greek and Hebrew means and all these kinds of things, you're much better listening to people like Fuchsia Pickett and of course she's in heaven now, but she was so good. And people that are involved in ministry, like the faculty that you were describing, rather than some pointy-headed intellectual that went to some effete university where they don't even believe the Word of God, of course. So it's what you need. And the thing is that there are other groups. Sometimes people who have a gift of education, maybe they have something successful, they want to do a little spinoff. I've seen these people, usually they want us to do a story in Charisma Magazine about them. I mean, I've covered this over the years. So I've seen people come and go, but you guys are solid. I mean, Dr. Ron Cottle was the best. He really was. I've known churches that have used your curriculum. That's why I was glad to have you on the Strang Report. And I really hope that we can motivate people. First of all, we have to let them know about it. There are a lot of people that haven't heard of CLST Global, and hopefully they'll learn about it. They'll read what we put on Charisma News in my newsletter and so forth. And also just having a conversation like this, I mean, your heart comes out, your integrity comes out, even your intellectual ability comes out because you're so articulate and you're so passionate about what you do. And I wish we could go on and on. But as we wrap up, and I'm going to give you the last word, I want you to make clear to the people who are listening exactly how they can get your resources, get in touch with you, follow up. And the nice thing about a podcast, even though people listen to them when they're driving down the road a lot of times, is that you can always back it up, listen to it again when you've got a pencil and paper and write this stuff down. So tell my listeners how they can get hold of you and to follow up on this very informative podcast.
Yes, I will. You know, one quick thing, Steve, I just wanted to say, because you're talking about, you know, the educational side. You know, Thomas Aquinas, who was heavily influenced by Aristotle, he kind of a classical proponent of natural theology, which he argued that reason, all reason is found in God. And he called theology the queen of the sciences. And, the ideology of learning, even in high Middle Ages, was centered around the fact that God and his actions on earth were the means for study. And so that's why he defined theology as the science that was above all and called it the queen of the sciences. And people, you know, when they hear theology, they think all stuffy, or they think, well, I'm not in ministry, I don't need theology. But theology is a beautiful word. It's a precious word. Theo, theos, God, knowledge, knowledge. It's knowing God. It's the knowledge of God. And then how to apply that to my calling and my purpose and my destiny. So these are really exciting days for the church. I know there's a lot going on in our world, but listen, these are days of hope and great joy. And for people that want to step into that vacuum and be world-class leaders, or pastors or leaders of organizations that want to start their own Bible college, I would encourage them that they can go to CLST, that stands for Christian Life School of Theology, clstglobal.org. And from there, they can pretty much access all the resources and the different channels that we have available. We're actually more than a school. We have a global leaders network, a global educators network, and a world campus for our School of Theology. But at the end of the day, it's about putting tools and resources into people's hands, all believers, anybody can afford to and can take advantage of going to Bible school now. And that's what's most exciting, is that there's no more limitations, no walls. And if they're passionate and hungry, then it's a wide open opportunity for them.
Well, thank you. And you said it so well. And this is exciting. And I, as I said before, I hope people will share this. I'm glad that people share my podcast, but I think this is a very important one to share. There are people who need to hear this, who want to hear this, who are looking for something like this, even if you're not in higher education. I think that Dr. Langley's vision and his passion is so inspiring, can inspire us all to do great things for God. So thank you to Randall Langley for being my guest on the Strang Report today. Thank you for listening. It went a little longer today than normal, but I thought it was important to keep the recording going. Usually we keep them pretty short, but this was good. And like I said, you can listen to it again. So tune in again tomorrow to another podcast of The Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.